Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast, powered by Consultant Connect. For the month of April, all our interviews with economic developers and site consultants will be solely focused on their reaction and response to the current coronavirus pandemic. We will be releasing these on a daily basis, and we hope you find value in each episode as we all fight for our communities. Today, Ron Kitchens talks with Roger Lee, CEO of Economic Development for Central Oregon. Let's listen in.
So Roger, tell us what the effect of COVID-19 is in your region.
Well, it's significant. It's hard to know exactly how it compares with others, but our unemployment rate has just skyrocketed. So we were pretty much full employment, in below 3%, 3.5% for the county. Some of our other counties in the Tri-County area that we serve, we're in that mid 4 range for unemployment rate. Just 3 weeks ago. And so in the course of, 3 weeks, we're probably at least 20%, probably pushing 30% unemployment now. And, just huge job claims, although we're seeing those across the country, obviously, for folks that are, businesses are laying off immediately. I think one of the things that's been interesting for us is that, it's showing our dependency upon or our over-dependence upon tourism and hospitality, and so we're seeing some maybe higher unemployment rates because of that. We have about 4.5 million visitors that come to this place, which is great for economic development, but when you're, all your restaurants and pubs and brew pubs are closed and you have 90% vacancy for your all these hotel properties and resorts, it just, there's a huge wave of that it creates behind it that it's not so much traded sector, but it'll have its impact on traded sector eventually.
So what's your gut telling you, assuming, and it's the wrong term, but assuming an all clear whistle gets blown in June or something, have you lost a year's tourism?
Well, we probably do about 60% of our tourism business in the summer months. So June, July, August, and September. And so if it gets blown then there's probably something to be salvaged. You just don't ramp everything up. People aren't just going to immediately travel, I think, for health reasons. And who knows when exactly this will end. It's interesting to be, kind of watch it play out in different parts of the world. We could be battling with this for a good part of the rest of 2020.
Yeah, I think when we look at things like SARS, and those areas that it impacted, or even bird flu, we saw those kind of year-long impacts. What are you seeing or feeling that it's going to impact your own organization?
Well, so far, everybody's healthy in our organization from a financial perspective. We're in a good spot. We kind of squeaked by with very few reserves in the Great Recession. And so we were able to build up kind of a war chest of 3 to 4 months of operation without any income whatsoever. But we also have contracts with some of our local communities. So some of that is somewhat protected. At risk is our, income from events, which comprises about 28% of our net income now, and from membership, which is in that 35-36% range. So, not everybody's going to drop at once, but we certainly expect a higher attrition rates, which could impact our operations, but we're still full staffing. We have 5 offices in this region, 3 of which are still staffed because nobody else is in the building. And our main headquarters here, we've got it spaced out such that, we have 3 or 4 people in the office every day. But everybody else is working from home, and we've actually made a couple new hires as this has all come together. I think in the last month, we've had 3 more people join the organization for new positions as well as vacancies. So, we're in a good spot, I think, even in this face of declining revenues, but there is a limit. So this goes, 6 or 8 months of the kind of restrictions we have now, we're in trouble just like everybody else. But of course, there's lots of bigger problems in the economy if we're, you know, we have this kind of restriction for that period of time.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. When you look at, you know, your what you're learning from this, and you talked about 2008, what have you seen in this that others can learn from? You know, one of the things, you know, for me, it was, you know, we immediately started building a budget based on, you know, membership is only about 35% of our income, but we immediately started building a budget around somewhere between 30 and 40%, you know, off this year, just because it's going to be hard for us to go ask people to write a check for, you know, a dollar when we know they haven't had any revenue in 4 months.
Yep.
And so what are you seeing?
Well, I don't know if we've got anything good, great to share or not. I think we're kind of learning as we go here. But we've also, I think, like your organization, have tried to diversify our revenue sources. We've diversified one of those to be in events, which it's very difficult to run events and run events profitably when you can't gather people together. Most of what we're doing now is, you know, is electronically, and we're still doing some of those events, but they're not the net income generators that they, you know, could be. So
yeah, I think we've trained people to believe that if it's electronic, it's free.
Yeah, yeah, it's so true. So, but we're certainly learning how to do this, you know, a variety of things and how to do this work remotely. We've tended to be more in the public eye. We really haven't had people working from home in our organization in the past, just because they're, as you know, these are kind of public facing roles. And most of the communities we serve are very small. And so our officers are one person. So that person's working from home. Everybody's like, no, is your person
out of sight, out of mind?
But everybody obviously understands now. So, you know, we've learned how to, you know, do some of that, I think, is, but like along with everybody else, do we have any great, you know, insights to share? I don't know. I mean, we were one of the first folks to come up with kind of a broader resource list of assistance, but I think this probably goes for other economic development organizations. I think it's different for chambers, and I know that Southwest Michigan First does both of those type of functions. But, you know, I think our chambers in many cases are kind of flat-footed. Their response is, here's a bunch of things to help you and go do it yourself.
Yeah.
And so what we're used to doing in our organization is that one-on-one contact consulting. You know, we carry a portfolio of companies right now, about, you know, before this all happened, about 200 companies we're regular contact with, whether they're thinking about moving here, their startups or their existing companies. We know how to do those. We kind of have those conversations. And I feel like our other business support organizations that are primarily for what we call the non-traded sector, so retail, commercial, you know, healthcare, education, things that are outside the manufacturing tech and kind of scalable professional services sectors are struggling to figure out how to do this work because they haven't done it in the past.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And it's not just new programming with the Federal Care Act, but just the idea of understanding the consultative process versus, and no disparagement, because as you said, we do both, that kind of order-taking model or purely small event model. And so, yeah, in our case, we've moved, you know, 25 people. All of a sudden, are true economic developers, and they're absolutely becoming experts on programming and figuring out how we deliver that and which one, what programs are relevant to what companies, and going deep on that. And that's, you know, that's really, it's times like this that economic development organizations build their reputations and show whether or not they really deserve to exist.
Yeah. It's a great point. I think your coverage of both those type of functions and your part of the country is going to be to their benefit. They're still very bifurcated.
I would be
blessed And there's just virtually no, I mean, there's hardly, in Oregon, for example, there's just hardly any economic development organizations that do chamber work or vice versa. And these chambers have very large memberships. And so, because they're representing a large segment of the business, you know, community out there, they'll have, you know, 1,000 or 1,500 members. Our membership base is much smaller. And when we sell memberships, it's not about what are you going to do for me this year. It's about we're trying to help the economy, which will indirectly benefit you. But if you're a chamber member, you're like, hey, what am I getting for my membership, you know, for that 12 months? And they're also not staffed to take care of 1,500 businesses, let alone, you know, the extra probably, you know, 3 or 4x of that that represents the businesses and economy that are being impacted by this.
Yeah, no, exactly right. You know, having, you know, been through these kind of things before, you know, what, put on your, you know, look in your crystal ball for me and tell me where you think we are in economic development as a profession a year from now. What are the great organizations going to be doing that will really have moved the needle?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we'll all be attempting to dig out from this severe recession, but we'll probably be helping because of the past things we just mentioned. There's just not the capacity. We're probably going to be working with businesses we haven't worked with before on some of these issues. I've been amazed to see the resiliency and the ingenuity of our manufacturing and tech businesses, how they're pivoting, retooling, making different stuff than they did before. You probably have that going on in your area as well.
Yeah, changing factory layouts in a week.
Yeah. Yep. Changing product mixes, you know, supplying what's in short supply for the health industry. So, I think the great organizations will have figured out how to pivot like those companies are pivoting, and also probably provide services to a broader group of folks than we're used to providing it to that are being impacted, because eventually, you know, there's an insulation for those traded sector folks that is coming down the road. We're a consumer economy still. So yeah. If people aren't buying stuff, eventually the manufacturing is going to shut down too.
Yeah. And we can hope we go back to consumerism pretty quickly after all this. Roger, it's a pleasure to talk with you. I wish we were doing it in person and having a really good Oregon Pinot while we were doing it. So I appreciate you. Stay safe and know that we're here to serve you. Anything we can do, we want to make sure that you win when we come out of this.
I appreciate that, Ron. It's really an honor to be asked to join your podcast here, and I'd love to ask the same questions you asked me offline and get your responses, because I have a high degree of respect of what you're doing, what you've done, and I know what you'll continue to do.
Awesome. We'll record those and send them. If nothing else, you'll get them.
Right on.
So great to hear insights from Roger Lee. If you're hungry for more interviews with economic developers and site consultants about the ever-evolving COVID-19 crisis, tune in every weekday. The America's Jobs Team podcast is powered by Consultant Connect and sponsored by Research on Investment and Gazelle AI.